Stop skimming.
Stop scrolling.
Just listen.
100 years ago today,
All Things Considered from NPR.
Ever walk into a place and just, you know, feel the history, like you're stepping back in time?
Oh, absolutely. That feeling is the best.
Well, that's exactly what we are diving into today.
I'm excited.
With this source material.
Mm-hmm.
All about Kansas City's Electric Park Garden Bar. It's a spot where it seems like they're practically bottling history right along with their beer.
And not just any beer, right?
Right.
We're talking Heim beer.
Yeah.
The same brew that they were serving in the original Heim Brewery in Electric Park, like, over a century ago.
Wow.
It's wild. A total sensory time capsule.
Okay, so picture this. It's the early 1900s.
Okay.
Kansas City is booming.
Yeah.
And Electric Park is the place to be.
Yeah.
We're talking thrilling rides, dazzling lights, and a beer garden just buzzing with life.
I wish I could have seen it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So now fast forward to the present. That same spot, what do you know, is resurrected as the Electric Park Garden Bar.
Amazing.
And they even brought back the original Heim beer recipe.
Oh, man, that's commitment to the bit. I love it.
Talk about a blast from the past.
It's really incredible, though, when you think about it. It's more than just nostalgia, you know?
Yeah.
This is about understanding how a city's character is shaped by its past.
Right.
And, you know, this article, it gives us a glimpse of that through, like, the lens of a live music experience.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of the music, let's talk about Daniel Gumm.
Yes.
This is the artist that is featured in this review. And the writer is throwing out comparisons to Nick Drake, Johnny Paycheck, Willie Nelson, even The Replacements.
Wow, that's quite a spread.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's like this guy has bottled up a century's worth of musical influences.
That's what I think is so fascinating about Gumm's style.
Yeah.
It really speaks to this like deep understanding of musical history, you know?
Yeah.
He's blending all these really distinct threads, folks' introspection, country storytelling, rock's raw energy into something that's like wholly unique.
Yeah.
You know, you have to wonder, how does that resonate with an audience, especially one that is so connected to the past through the venue itself?
That's such a good point. You got me thinking now, do those different influences, do they pull at different people in the crowd?
Right.
Like, are some folks tapping into the country vibe while other people are lost in, like, a Nick Drake-esque daydream?
Exactly.
It's like he's offering a musical choose-your-own-adventure.
Exactly. And that's actually where things get really interesting because, according to your source material, there's this whole other layer of sound that's woven into this performance.
Oh, no.
And it's, well, it's rather unexpected.
Oh, yeah. We can't forget about the elephant, or should I say, the locomotive in the room. I mean, imagine trying to share your heart through song while a freight train is just blasting its horn right next door.
Oh, man.
Poor Daniel Gumm. Talk about setting a mood right.
No kidding.
I mean, listen, I love a good train whistle as much as the next person.
Yeah.
But imagine, like, trying to really get lost in a tender ballad, you know, while this, like, steel behemoth is just wailing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Daniel Gumm.
You almost have to admire, though, how Gumm just rolled with the punches.
Right.
The article mentions, you know, him handling it with humor, a little frustration.
Sure.
And then, this is brilliant, he changes his set list on the fly.
Oh, yeah. He busted out the covers.
Yeah. Which,
what a smart move.
Absolutely.
Right? If you are going to be battling a train for attention,
yeah,
might as well play something familiar to, like, real folks back in.
Totally. Plus, it's more than just a clever tactic when you really think about it.
Okay.
Like, he chooses blues classics, right? After Midnight, Bartender's Blues.
Yeah, yeah.
Those aren't just random covers. Those are steeped in the same kind of working class after hours vibe that this old brewery building, you know, would have seen in its heyday.
Whoa. I did not even catch that connection.
Right.
It's like those train horns, like, accidentally became part of the show.
Totally.
This raw, like, industrial counterpoint to the music.
Yeah. Yeah. It's perfect.
It's like those old bluesmen singing about hardship with nothing but a guitar and a whole lot of life experience backing them up.
Exactly. And what's even more fascinating is, like, this impromptu collaboration that unfolded in all the chaos.
I know, right?
Tell me, what did you think about that duet with Wills Van Dorn?
That 8 days a week moment. Oh, man. Talk about a silver lining, right?
Yeah.
It's like the train throws a wrench in the plan.
Throws a wrench in it.
And then suddenly you've got this, like, spontaneous musical combustion.
Right.
You've got to wonder, would that have even happened if that train had stayed silent?
It really makes you think about the relationship between limitation and creativity, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's those hurdles, those unexpected things that force artists to think on their feet, to tap into something deeper, more instinctive. And in this case, it resulted in a moment that the article highlights as like the highlight of the night.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder how often happy accidents like this happen, you know, just because of unplanned disruption.
And it brings us right back to this idea that we keep kind of circling the past, echoing in the present.
Oh, yeah.
Just like those trains still rumble through the East Bottoms today. A century ago, Electric Park was right there in the thick of it all.
Right in the thick of it.
You have to wonder, did those early 20th century performers, did those early 20th century performers, you know, ever have their own like train-related setlist shakeups?
Right.
Were they dodging trolley bells between verses or getting drowned out by like the clang of industry?
I know it's such a like it's such a tantalizing thought, you know? It's like Daniel Gumm's performance is this like this living link to the past. You can practically like hear these ghostly echoes of musicians' past, right?
Yeah.
Adapting, riffing along to the soundtrack of a young, bustling Kansas City.
It's wild. And it's like it takes us beyond just this one night of music, right?
Hold it.
The article mentions the Bridge radio station.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm struck by the parallel there.
Okay.
It's just like music can bridge different genres and eras. I mean, think about Daniel Gumm's own like eclectic sound.
Right.
This bar, this resurrected Electric Park, it like becomes a bridge between Kansas City's past and present.
Yeah, it makes you realize that history isn't just like something you read in a textbook, you know, right?
Yeah.
It's like woven into the very fabric of the places we inhabit,
Yeah.
the music we listen to, even the beer we drink.
Absolutely. Like knowing the stories behind the bricks and mortar,
Right.
the echoes of those train whistles,
Yeah.
it just adds this like this extra dimension to experiencing that place today.
And that's the beauty of these deep dives, right? We
Yeah.
take these seemingly like disparate threads, you know, a
Totally.
concert review, a
Yeah.
train yard, a century-old beer recipe, and suddenly, like, we're grappling with these bigger questions
I know.
about history, about memory, about the power of place.
It's so cool. And so to anybody listening who has ever felt that like that pull of the past,
Yeah.
that curiosity about the stories that are like echoing all around us, go
Yes.
explore. Check out Daniel Gumm's music. Dig into the history of Electric Park.
Absolutely.
And next time you're in Kansas City, raise a glass at the Garden Bar.
Cheers to that.
You might just hear a train whistle and like a ghostly harmonica playing in tune.